65.
Yeah.
Mine is in the 20s.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry for you. I guess if it's there, though, it's moving this way.
No, it ain't bothering me. I'm inside. It's outside.
Okay, well, I hope it warms up for you.
Oh, yeah, it will. It was supposed to warm up by Wednesday.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Winter's got to have its last gasp. The groundhog didn't see his shadow, so it's got to be over with here pretty soon.
You know what? I don't play it again. That groundhog, I don't pay him no mind.
I don't either, but a lot of people listen to it. I guess it's fun.
You got to have something to look for, you know.
That's right. Let me tell you what this is for. Are you familiar with a magazine called Sports Collector's Digest?
Sports Collector? I don't know who I am.
It's a weekly publication. It's mostly geared toward people that collect baseball cards and football cards. But they also have other features. They have historical features sometimes, interviews with former players sometimes, and I do a lot of those for them. And that's why I want to talk to you, get an interview with you in there. When I was a kid and you were just coming into the American League, you became one of my favorite players. And I remember sitting on the school bus arguing with a friend of mine over who was better, you or Mike Garcia. Yeah, it got to be pretty heated arguments sometimes. I'll ask you several questions, and you can answer them just as short or as long as you want to. And if you feel like adding something, please do. First, you were born in Stone Mountain. I was raised in and around Atlanta, so we come from pretty much the same place.
I was born 14 miles from Atlanta. Yeah, I was born in Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Well, how old were you when you left there?
I'm going to tell you my age. I was born there December 27, 1922.
Mm-hmm.
It's talking about, all right. I left there about 5 years old, went to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to school in Atlanta till I was in about the sixth or seventh grade. Then I went back to Stone Mountain. I went back to Stone Mountain and started school there, and I quit, went in the eighth grade. And then I started playing ball around there, you know, the tennis ball. I didn't play no hardball. I just played tennis ball.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of afraid of a hardball, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't fool. We all just played tennis ball, and they had other guys that played hardball, the guys that had a little team in the town, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We go by and look at them, so if we played tennis, I wasn't thinking about playing a hardball. The only time I started playing hardball was in school one day, and we playing the team, the city team. So, you know, had a little recreation day.
Mm-hmm.
The school team playing the city team. We didn't think about beating them, but you know what I mean, we played them. And the largest guy there and the oldest guy there got hurt. And I'm the next biggest guy there. And he looked at me and said, come on, I said, oh, I ain't played the hardball. I said, He said, come on, I said, I ain't playing no hardball. I can't play it. I ain't never played no hardball. He kept on with big men, you know, and called me sis and things like that. I said, okay, I'll go play. I'll go outside. I go out there in the outfield, and I said, ball come up there. I said, I don't catch it. I'm going to let it fall. I pick it up and I throw it. I can throw. So what happened? I went out there in the first doggone ball. 2 men was on. And one out. First ball, man was on. First and second. First ball was hit out there to me. I started running. And I said, well, I get close to it. I might throw one of them guys out going home, you know. And I had to look up and saw it. Awful close. And for some reason, my arm just reached out and I caught it. And the man was going to sucker. I threw it back to first and got him off, doubling him off.
Wow.
Oh, man. Now I got to run. The girl tried to kiss you. You know what I'm bashful too. I'm flying down through the woods. You know, so when it come up, 2 times I come up and looked at the ball. I wouldn't swing. Come on, swing at the ball. See, I was just scared of hard ball. So last time I went up, man, they were leading us by 1 run. And the man was on, 2 men was on. I said, come on, Johnson, swing at the ball, swing at the ball. So I got back, I said, well, I'm going to hit this ball. If it hit me, I said, you can't do nothing but hurt me too bad. And he threw the ball low, and I hit it, and last time he saw it going on the tree.
No kidding.
Yeah. They want me to play with the team inside, you know, the city team.
How old were you then?
About 16, 17.
Uh-huh.
They want me to play the city team then. So I did play the city team. I went out and played outfield. I played in center field. So I went to Lathonia a couple of places. I went down to Lathonia once, and I was catching everything to hit out there. And the people's hardly stand. Don't hit it to center field. Hit it on the ground anywhere. So I was catching, and I could hit pretty good, too. So the big team from Atlanta comes. See, a team from Atlanta?
Uh-huh.
Well, you used to have black crackers.
Uh-huh.
The white crackers didn't have the black crackers. A boy named Sammy and all of them came there to play us one Saturday down there.
The white crackers played you?
No, black.
Oh, okay, okay.
So they want me to pitch. See, I said, always, I tell you how they found out I could pitch. One day we was out there, you know, we scrap up, get a team and play.
Mm-hmm.
The dog. So I told him, let me pitch. The guy said, oh, man, you can't pitch. You came through good, boss. Yes, I can. And Saxon stayed throwing curves all the time. So I read up and threw him one. He reached up and get it, hit him on his knee. Catch it. He grabbed his knee. He said, man, what was that? I said, curveball. He said, can you throw it again? I threw it and hit him on the knee again. So you pitch. So I got up, start pitching. And I struck out so many, they stopped playing ball. They started getting in line, you know. So I mean, I could strike out. So when the guys come, they want me to pitch. I had never pitched a game. So I pitched four innings, it was raining hard. And a guy named Sammy Haynes, which once played with the Monarchs here, he come out, he said, Johnson, said, don't throw that ball no more. It's wet. And say, you're throwing it too hard. So you hurt your arm. Say, you can be a good pitcher. So four innings, I stopped throwing the ball. That's the only thing I ever did. So that next year, the weekend, I had never been to a professional ball game.
Mm-hmm.
So Toledo Crawford and Kansas City Monarchs came out to play in Atlanta, Atlanta Stadium. That's a big stadium in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So they came to play in that stadium. And I got to go for some reason. I went up there and looked at it. It'd be the first time. And I saw them guys. Oh, boy, look at them guys catch that ball and throw it. You know, it was amazing to me to see how to play. The first game I ever seen a guy play. So the guys up there said, hey, Johnson, you ought to be with them. See, I was bashful. I was all man sitting there. So I went home that day, and I was intending to see four places. There's New Orleans, California, Chicago, and New York. I wanted to see them four, then I'd come on back home. I even prayed for it to see that. So I'm sitting out there with my father, working on the mound, you know, getting rube out that big mound, you know,
mm-hmm.
using a four-pound hammer. So just seemed to go over the hill. I was going to, kind of run away. I say, Lamont, I'm going to go to New Orleans and rest the place. And I hate the door, and I look at my father, and I said, I hate the door, and I tell it him. And something told me, hold it. You know, like somebody just helped me out. I said, what's this? And I looked up, and I saw a black car, a black LaSalle. I said, here's somebody come for me to play ball. And the guy said, you going to stop up there? The guy that beat the steel, what you call him, a blacksmith. I said, he going to stop at the blacksmith shop. I said, the blacksmith going to come out there and look for my daddy. My daddy going to look back and call me. He did the same thing, everything I said he did. And I walked out, I said, here I am. I walked over there, he said, hey, we want you to play ball with me. I said, well, I've never played one game in my life, but what's called to say you can play and throw hard? I said, well, if you want me to play, I'll play with you. That was a Toledo Crawford, didn't have no pitches.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know that. I didn't know I was going to pitch. So I said, okay. He said, you have a glove? I said, yeah, you have a spike. So, he said, well, we take you by home and go up there and we take the play this evening. I said, okay. So I got in the car and went on home. They got my stuff and I went on up there. Now what I'm trying to find out, how much to charge him after the game. I didn't want to charge him too much and I didn't want to charge him not enough. So that's what I'm worried about. And the guys up there looking at me, you know, talking to me. And I'm a bachelor kid. I ain't never been nowhere. I'm just talking with them and different things, you know, asking, hey, you carry Abe? I said, Abe, yes. No, I don't carry no Abe. I didn't know what Abe was. They mean a knife. They thought everybody in Georgia carried a knife. So we talking with one out there. Now, I am 6'3", weighing 160-something.
Wow.
They give me a uniform, a 48.
Oh, my Lord.
And you should see that uniform on me. The sleeve is hanging everywhere.
Well, I haven't stayed on you.
I had to double, 48 around. I had to double it around me.
Uh-huh.
Cap bill was the longest cap bill I've ever seen in my life. The pants just hanging. When I walked out on the field, people started laughing. They thought I was a clown. All about the people laughing like everything. You know, but I didn't pay that no mind. All I wanted to get that money and get what you got. So he said, hit a ball. I said, oh, yeah. He said, go warm up. I said, okay. I just thought it wouldn't have just throw, you know. And the guy came into the pitching mound. He said, you warm up here? I said, warm up here. He said, are you pitching, Dave? I said, pitching, yes. I ain't never pitched a whole game in my life. He said, well, what did you get you for? So I warmed up, warming up, didn't went out on the mound. Boy, look here. And they got on their knees crying. when they saw me walk out on that mound with that big hat and the pants and everything just falling off. I didn't look like nothing. So the boy named Spoon Carter come out and showed me how to get on the mound. See, I was getting on the mound like somebody was on base. See, I didn't know how to get on the mound because I had never pitched. So that's why I was getting on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed me how to get on the mound. But I guess you know about the fourth inning, they stopped laughing.
I bet they did.
I had stuck out here about it. I know one guy up there said, who that throwing down there smoking Joe weed when I was warming up? A guy named Kip from Atlanta, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, the guy come and said, look, we're going to take out the game. He said, not because you ain't doing good, because you ain't been throwing there. He said, he might hurt your arm. So they took me out the game. So I'm trying to see Joe Green. See, Joe Green was the other guy that played with the Monarchs that are was on the Monarchs team, see.
Mm-hmm.
One of them I used to throw to when he come home that evening. I want to see him so I can find out how much he charges. That day, you know. And I couldn't see him. I got mad. I said, shoot, I can't see him. I said, I know he going home. So when he got back, I got my clothes on. So when I got my clothes on thing, I got up. He come and said, hey, you want something to eat? I said, no, I don't want to eat. Come on, eat. I said, no, I don't. He kept on. I said, well, okay. They're trying to pick me off in chicken. So I ordered a whole chicken. And I ate. And somebody, he didn't look at me, you know. I said, well, this is it. This is it. I said, I'm going to eat my chicken. He got through. Jess Owen was with the team, on half of it. Toledo Crawford, Jess Owen, the runner.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to say, hey, we want you to go with him. Want me to do what? Go with him. Go to where? He said, play ball. I said, man, I can't play no ball. He said, look, you know, you played the best team in the league, Kansas City Monarch. So you struck out all of them just about. He said, we want you to go with us. I said, no, you hadn't trained. He said, but you could do a little training while you with us. I said, you kidding? He said, no. I said, well, you had to go ask my mother. So they went down there and they asked my mother. My mother said, hey, she said, do you want to go? I know you want to go. Said, you going to take care of him. That's Oscar Charleston, one of the greatest ball players I know. You might have heard of him.
Sure.
Oscar Charleston, he said, yeah, I'll take care of him. So that's where it started.
I'll be darned. And you went with Toledo that year, but you went to Kansas City the next year.
Yeah. Toledo broke up.
Oh, I see. What kind of record did you have with Toledo? Do you remember?
Well, I really don't.
Okay.
You know, I was just pitching, and one thing about it, see, I wanted to go away from home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to find out where I'm going to leave them, you know. I said, well, I'm going to leave these guys somewhere, but I don't know what I'm going to do. So one night I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking about the places I've been, you know, Memphis and all of them. I'm in Chicago now. One of the places I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I woke the guy up, and hey, he said, yeah, what's wrong? I said, well, I'm going to ask you a question. He said, man, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, yeah, I just want to ask you. I said, do we ever go to New Orleans? He said, yeah. I said, what about New York? He said, yeah, we go to New York too. I said, why California? He said, no, we don't go out of California. And I stopped and tell him, I said, look here, this is what I want. I wrote my mother a letter that night. Told her, I'm all right. This is exactly what I wanted. To travel, see?
Yeah.
I want to travel, but there, I'm traveling with the team, didn't have to pay nothing.
Yeah, that's a deal.
All I had to do was just travel and things like that. And I loved to travel, because at night, I used to get in the bus and in Texas, be riding and look at the moon in Texas, the prettiest moon and the biggest moon I ever seen in my life. And I love the scenery, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I just love that. So I said, this is it. That's where I started.
But tell me about when you went to the Monarchs. You were the champions 2 years while you were there, right?
Yeah.
How good were you?
Who, me or the team?
You and the team.
Well, I was pretty good. I was good. Because they had some good pitchers there, too. They had Satchel.
Oh, yeah.
They had Hilton Smith, which is just as good as Satchel,
mm-hmm.
one of them. Then they had McDaniel. Then they had, we had about nine. Dizzy Dean came there once when we played Dizzy Dean in off-season, you know, Bunstarter?
Mm-hmm.
He said, man, if I had this pitcher staff here, I said, I would have put it anywhere. But we had nine. We had about eight or nine of the best pitchers you want to see. You just put any of them outside there. All of them.
Do you have any idea what any of your personal records were over the years?
Well, now, it's a guy around here, he got it. He was writing a book, he got my record. But I'll tell you, one year, I won 11 straight. The year I came back, I hit my arm.
Uh-huh.
I hit my arm, I came back, I won 11 straight. And the other 12th one, the man taken away from the umpire, I struck money over it. I struck money over it out, and he gave me two more strikes.
Oh, boy.
And he got a single. And that won the game. That's why I broke up my streak. I had 11 straight.
Yeah, what year was that?
That's when I come out. When I come in, I'm in 46. I hurt my arm before the city. I fought about 47 or 48.
How long were you in the service?
3 years.
Yeah, that really interrupted the careers of a lot of fellas.
Yeah, but it didn't bother me. I got stronger. See, I was young when I went there. I got there as young as you can go, you know? And it didn't bother me. You know, I come out, because I played ball in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to strike out 18. That was just a fair game.
Wow.
I struck out 15 or 16. That's just fair game. First of all, I said, hey, that's pretty, you did all right. I said, but you got struck out 18, 19, or 20. It's a good game. One time I struck out 24.
Wow.
In the Army.
Hey, what happened to those three guys that didn't strike out?
It popped up.
Oh, okay. What's up?
They used to bet when I used to go, oh, they go bet. They said, Johnson, when you was Johnson pitching? Yeah. I said, man, I said, it might be a good team. I don't care. They just bet, boy. I said, man, I said, ain't nobody hitting. Two guys on the team could hit us and be the catcher. But they bet, man. They bet and win. They bet and even saw the majors and cons and captains and all of them, man. They stopped it. Sometimes we'd be parading, and I was an arm bearer, you know, carried the flag.
Yeah.
And they stopped the parade. If it's calling the major there, where's Connie? And he'd come out and talk to me.
How'd you get the nickname Connie?
Because, you remember, it's a duet. You heard the Barbwell sisters?
Sure.
One of them named Connie.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked her singing. And that year, I just called everybody Connie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I played a music. See, I did that when I was young. I might get a name and call everybody that same name all the time. For some reason, I don't know why. It might be Willie or Timmy or something like that. I call everybody that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would call everybody Cunning, so they named me that.
Okay, your name's Clifford, though, right?
Mm-hmm. Clifford, yeah. So I just named everybody Cunning. I said, hey, Cunning. Everybody Cunning, so they named me Cunning.
Well, I like Connie better than him.
Yeah.
Who signed you? When you came into organized ball it's not organized ball, you were in organized ball. When you came over to the white leagues, who signed you?
Yeah. I tell you what happened. I was a guy bought me, and I can't think of anything, up in, so I went to Panama. See how down to Panama?
Mm-hmm.
I went down there, a guy named Chet Brewer got me to play down in Panama.
Okay, I remember him.
I went to Panama, then there was a white guy there that played up in Canada. Frank Heisen. He played up in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So he tried to get some ball, but he said, man, I'd like for you, see, I think you can play up in Canada with me. So I'm going to try to, this man, I'm trying to think his name, but I think he's dead now. He was a young manager. He said, I'm going to talk with him about getting you up there. I said, okay. He said, you can make some money up there, good money then up there. So Hamilton, his name was Hamilton. So he called Hamilton, and Hamilton told me, would he give me anything like that? So I tried to get some money from Monarchs, and he said, no, they want to give me that. I said, well, what you call me, want to buy me, and thing like that. So he wrote a nasty letter to the man, and said, he wasn't no silver, and thing like that, you know. I said, well, I ain't got one thing. See, but before then, my arm had been hurt, you know,
mm-hmm.
for a year. And John O'Neill was a manager. I went to him one day. I said, look, I'm quitting. He said, no, don't ever quit, so let him fire you. So I started running and went to a chiropractor in Laredo, Texas, and he helped me out.
Mm-hmm.
So when I come back, told me to run all the time. So I just started running. And I didn't have that speed, but I had control. I had won six games, that's why I was seven straight. And the guys used to laugh at me because I run, you know, make fun of me because I was running.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, up in Memphis, Kansas, I looked around to everybody behind me.
If it works, do it.
I looked around the whole team. I started laughing. I said, for oh, shut up. Look here. I started running, you know, and I look back and all of them running behind me. Pitchers, every pitcher was running. So I guess they said, well, if it helped him go, I'm going to run some too.
But when you came into, you went to Canada, you certainly.
See, I went to Canada. See?
Yeah, you won 15 games and led the league in strikeouts.
Yeah, all right. Now I went to Canada. What happened? This is what happened. The owner say he want to sell me or nothing like that. So at the time, see, we were going to Mexico. If you go to Mexico, you're automatic out the league. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can't do it for you. Can't say you do nothing. So I said, well, okay. I said, I wrote him a letter. I said, well, the man told me, say, you talked to him kind of nice. I said, I hope you try to get what got together. I said, because I'm going to Mexico. I said, I'll be going to Mexico next month. I said, I'll see you. and told him the next time I look around, Hamilton Corbin said he sold me. But see, if I'd have went to Mexico, he couldn't have got a nickel for that.
Right. Yeah.
So that's why I thought of that. I wasn't going to Mexico. I ain't had nobody in Mexico. I ain't never thought about me. But I had to tell him that, you know.
But it worked.
Yeah, it worked. And he told me. So I went up there, and a guy named Cash, they were looking at him, a catcher, up in St. Heist,
mm-hmm.
up in Canada. They were looking at him. We playing. So they came and looked at the Cash that day. I threw a two-hitter and hit a home run. And next time, I throw the one-hitter. So, I said, hey, we don't want Cash, we want y'all. So, you know what? They got me. I didn't even know it. I got a letter from Chicago City just bought me. And the guy gave it to me, and I said, oh, yes, okay. He said, wait a minute, sir. Ain't you glad? I said, yeah. He said, well, you ain't got no expression or nothing? I said, yeah, they bought me. That's all I think I can say. So they bought me and sent me to Colorado Springs.
And you had a big year there, too?
Huh?
You had a big year there?
I broke out what you call them, a record out there. With that left hander name, I struck out so many in an All Star game. Jackie Robinson last morning, he struck out.
Bobby Chance.
Left hander. He had a record out there. See, now I broke his strikeout record out
mm-hmm.
there. See, I had a good year out there. And from there, I went to spring training with him just to throw batting practice, and they kept me.
You didn't spend the full year there, though. What happened?
Huh?
What happened? You didn't spend the full year with Chicago.
I got wild.
Oh.
I got wild and they sent me down. All right, the next year they brought me up.
Now, 54 and 55, you were at Toronto, the first half of 55.
Yeah.
Everybody up there was evidently at your mercy with the way you were pitching.
Yeah, I had a 12 and 2 up there.
Yeah, you had 17 and 8, and then the next year 12 and 2 and brought you up.
Yeah, they brought me up. Marty Maron was managing in Chicago then.
Uh-huh.
And he brought me up then. Then I stayed with him. Then Paul Richard had gone to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got up there, Paul Richard got me. He got to make a deal for a couple more guys. But when I got there, the guy said, Paul Richard trying to get you at all times. But they just threw you in. See, Marty Maron just threw me in the deal.
Yeah, you were an afterthought. You weren't put in the trade until 2 or 3 days later.
Yeah, see, what happened, the guy told me, Coach said, well, we really was after you. I said, but we had to make this trade with the mother, then got him to throw you in.
Mm-hmm.
So he got me over in Baltimore. What they were trying to do was to get me, see. But I wonder, I said, now I had a good record over here. What the hell happened? See, when I come up with 7-4. With Chicago, you know.
Well, you had 19 wins that year, counting Toronto, and that was the third most in all of professional baseball that year.
I had all that, and then I didn't pitch as much, you know, when I was supposed to pitch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up pretty good up there with a bought me next year. I had a 14-something with them.
14-11.
Yeah, with Baltimore. Yeah.
So you were third in the league in strikeouts. There weren't any 20-game winners that year. I don't think there was, but you were sixth in the league with your 14 wins, and you were on a bad team.
Yeah, bad team. We didn't wait. We lost about 25 games with one run.
Wow.
Playing that the game, you know, when you're at home,
mm-hmm.
You don't play for one run. If we'd have got one run, we'd have won all of them. We wouldn't even, because this would happen. We had guys, when there ain't nobody on base, they hit the ball up against the wall. Get the base loaded, they can't get out the infield. So I went to spring training, I said, I'm going to start hitting. A lot of them games, I hit them in. I won the game by hitting.
Well, you were a pretty good hitter. You were hitting up in the 200s there for a couple of years, I believe.
Yeah, I had to start hitting because they weren't hitting. I said, well, I got to do some hitting. So in spring training, I told them, throw me a number of curveballs. So I went down to Cuba that year, and I beat old, the guy down there that lost 7 games, he lost to me. He lose the 7 games, he lost to me.
Wow.
And he told me, he said, Munger said, hey, what the hell they keep pitching me with you? They know damn well they can't beat me. I ain't doing them a losing game. You know, I was hitting curveball. Because they used to throw me curveball, I could hit it. Shoot, that's it. Because I went to spring training, I just practiced throwing me curveball. So that's what I did, hit them curveballs.
But you were, by this time, you were up in your 30s.
Oh, yeah, I'm about 32 when I went to make.
Yeah, that's a shame, a little bit late. Well, your last year was 57 or 58?
58.
Yeah, what did you do after you left the Orioles that year?
I went to the Pacific Coast League, Pacific Coast League out there at Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
I went there, I had an 8-4 out there. But he sent me a letter and said he's going to try to use nothing but young ball players and going to send the old ones down. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I told him, I said, I'm leaving, I'm going home.
So that 59 was your last year?
Yeah. So I said, well, I'm not going anywhere. I had an 8-4 up there. I said, this is it. Some guy tried to get me to go to Japan, different places. I said, no, I'm through. I said, anytime I walk in, put on, and it's hard for me to put on a uniform, and I don't want to put it on. Tiresome. I said, time to stop.
Yeah, look for something else.
Because it ain't to run it, it's just putting on a uniform. And I said, now, that ain't nothing. I said, but when I get tired of putting on a uniform, time me to quit. I said, well, I'm through. I ain't going down no fun. I'm through with it.
What did you, do after you left baseball?
I left baseball and went to Kansas City, and I was bred salesman there with Hoswald Bakery.
Mm-hmm.
I sailed there. Then once he let me go down to Mexico to play for a little while, I went down there, and that team didn't have no Pueblo. They didn't have no money. They gave me $600 to come down there. But I got out of there, they didn't have no money, couldn't buy no socks and hats. They had hats, but didn't have no socks and all that stuff like that. So I said, look here, they're going to get rid of us. They can't hold us. And I know I went to one game, ball, missing ball, and throwing. I said, this is it. And he told me, I said, don't have to tell me. I know what it is. Time to go home. And I said, I want to go home. Because I'm not going on the mountains no more. See, we went on a place, I don't know where it was, to play.
Mm-hmm.
Over the mountains, and we were over the clouds. And the driver would be up there talking to the other people, looking around, talking, and be so foggy you couldn't see 10 feet in front of you.
Oh, boy.
And people's on the curves and all that stuff. I said, look, I ain't going on here no more. I said, before I go, I quit.
So you stayed at the bakery?
You know, when they said, let's go, I was glad.
So you just hung it up and didn't look back?
Yeah, I didn't look back. I come on.
Tell me, Connie, I guess you played 20 years, didn't you? Over 20 years.
Yeah.
Who was the best player or players that you think you ever saw?
You got a lot of them. Best players, you know. Now, some of the best hitters, I have to say, Josh Gibson. No, the best hit I think was Oscar Charles.
Uh-huh.
He managed the first team I played with. So Oscar Charles was my 15. He walked up the base with the school tied up and they're walking.
Wow.
You know, see that first time I never seen nothing like that. He walked up there, and I seen him walk up and spit at two balls. He put his foot up in front of the base, and he acted like a kid, in a way. He wasn't, but only sometime. He said, hey, somebody get on, let old Charles. And somebody get on. He get his bat and walk up there. He hit the ball out of the ballpark.
Wow.
He could hit. Charlie Thurston, the only man ever won, first man ever won 20 game on the bottom team, was from the St. Louis. Not calling the others.
Browns,
yeah. He won, you see. And he asked me one day, he was coach, he said, yeah, I want to know Oscar Charles. I said, sure, I'll be the first manager I play with. He said, I've seen Babe Ruth and Fox and all of them. He said, that's the greatest hit I ever seen. He said, we played with him one-star one year, and he hit home runs every night. He said, I ain't never seen nobody hit like this.
Wow.
He won. I seen him spit at two balls. He's about 50 years old and hit the ball. I said, what did he did? What did he do when he was? Then I met a guy down in some guy, I forget the place, in Mexico. Not Mexico, down in Texas. And I had my bad tooth, and I went to him. He said, you a ball player, ain't you? I said, yeah. I said, he said, you ever heard of Oscar Charles? I said, sure, he was my first man. He said, I played with him.
Huh.
He said, that was the doggone man I ever seen in my life. So I ain't never met nobody in my life like Oscar Charles. You know, Oscar Charles would take somebody, take a sweater, a shirt, put them on, and they had a capsuline to put on the arm, you know, to make the arm, you know, an arm so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hot. I mean, it'd burn you up. And he'd get back and want to fight the pitch.
Wow.
He said he did everything. He said he could do anything. He said nothing that he couldn't do. And it wasn't. I seen him play, and at 50 years old, play it, the whole catch and go all the way around. And in every position, he was great.
So he was the best ball player you think you ever saw?
He won all around. He's about the best. Look, but I didn't see him play baseball. He was just managing to play sometimes.
Just pinch hitting and stuff.
Yeah. Now, the best hitter, I would say, Josh Gibson and this other guy, he's a first baseman that played with the Greens. Well, he's in the Hall of Fame, too.
Leonard?
He's in the Hall of Fame. Played with Josh Gibson.
Buck Leonard?
Buck Leonard, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Buck Leonard was something like Lou Gehrig. Josh Gibson, home run, overshadowed him.
Mm-hmm.
But just a natural hitter, he's about the best natural hitter you want to see. See, I was throwing one day, I was throwing hard. And he just fouled the ball, tipping the ball off. He got to meet some man, said, you was throwing that ball today. I said, hell, I ain't getting nothing about you. now he was, then you got some mobile players like Bunny Sorrell. We had a guy named Bunny Sorrell. But Bunny Sorrell loved to go to Mexico. He can speak that stuff just like the Mexican does.
Mm-hmm.
He liked that. He played AAA. But he played fancy, but that's the only way he can play. He just like Goose Tatum. If Goose Tatum didn't clown, he couldn't play.
Yeah.
He couldn't play basketball or baseball.
It's part of the game.
Yeah, you might as well take him out if he couldn't clown. Well, Bunny Sorrell, like this, he wasn't clowning, but he'd get the ball and throw it over his shoulder, behind him, and all like that, and make double plays. and this guy here used to be with a Brooklyn sword. He jumped up and said, Lord, how much I can't have this. This killed me all year. And since